This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with Dave Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady's got the day off today. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little wet out there this morning.
It was not wet out there.
See, I knew he was going to say that because he doesn't believe that it was raining because he comes from a different direction.
It was wet at my house.
Okay. There was a little moisture on it.
It was wet on it.
Wipers
wet
had
on
to
mirror.
Go on as I was driving down the 15, not to get a little mist off. There was rain. You could hear it tipping on the top of the roof.
I'm not going to say you guys, but you, George, are being a little aggressive this morning.
Know that you're going to start out with the, no, it wasn't, there wasn't any, it's misting. There was a spritz, but
okay.
It was raining coming down the 15.
It was raining.
Go ahead.
From my direction, it was a little moist out.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
There was some moisture on the ground. There were no puddles. I don't think I really used the windshield wipers. Okay?
Okay.
And I saw more moon and sky than puffs of clouds. But the puffs of clouds going past the moon this morning looked really
neat. Now, that's
neat.
Interesting because I didn't see any from our end. But then again, it was raining, so the clouds were there.
Well, I saw the moon when we got here to the station.
Yeah, from here, but not
I didn't
see
it at my house,
right,
no.
Right, because of the rain.
Maybe we come from different directions and that the weather can be different in different areas.
Yeah, there might be.
Can we agree on that?
Some sort of microclimate thing.
Can you come together
absolutely.
On that?
I will. We'll kumbaya on that one.
Kumbaya. Well, all I know is on the news last night, they said it was going to be drying out over the weekend. Well, it was not drying out at my house.
Well, the weekend
morning.
Has now, just wait, really begun.
Okay, yeah. Now that you bring it up that way, the weekend has just begun.
It's been 6 hours into the weekend.
And it is supposed to be drying out and warming up to possibly... 70. Above seasonal norms for temperature.
And I am looking forward to it.
Yes, I got a text from my sister
I
yesterday.
I know, and I appreciate it.
She was very sad that you've had to suffer through this cool, moist, and or rainy weather.
The grayness, yeah.
Yes, she doesn't understand how you can possibly survive May gray and June gloom.
It's a challenge. It's difficult. But I persevere.
Yes, don't we all?
Welcome to Garden Talk, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's see. What do we have going on this weekend? We have classes in both stores today at 9 o'clock in San Diego. It's going to be integrated pest control. And at 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be citrus care, culture, and varieties with John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden. That is going to be a big class. So if you are interested in that class, get there early and get a seat. That's going to be at 9:30 in the Poway store. And next weekend, which is already first weekend in May, is in San Diego. It's going to be pollinators, everything you want to learn about pollinators in your yard. And, you know, pollinators are not just honeybees. They're anything
I
that
concur.
They are anything
we have concurrence,
that,
yes.
Anything that moves pollen between flowers is a pollinator. So butterflies, native bees.
Wind.
Flies.
Q-tips.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your hand.
You know, at this time, actually, as it warms up a little bit more, but I've already seen my first sphinx moth.
Really?
On the flowers at night, on the grapefruit and on the macadamia. Yes.
I have not seen a sphinx moth in ages.
I think I sent you a video of one fluttering. It had just come out. I think it's letting its wings dry before she took off or he took off as I was weeding. It was in a section of the garden. So, yes, we have them. They are moving around right
lots
now.
Lots of moths out on the trees at night.
And let's see, next weekend on the 4th in Poway at 9:30, it's going to be Xeriscape with succulents and perennials with Dean. He puts on a very good class. So if you want to get there, get a good seat, get there early. He always has some kind of interesting plants to
he usually has
goof
many.
Around with too.
He's a rare succulent and cacti kind of nerd, so he really does bring in some unique specimens.
Yes, he does. Let's see. Also, next weekend at the Home Depot in Lemon Grove, from 9 to 3, the Master Gardeners Association are having a Garden Talks demonstrations and crafts.
Are they doing their tool sharpening at that one, or is it not? I thought that's where you were headed. Sorry. You may continue.
No. But on the 18th, at the College Area Community Garden at Zero Way and Montezuma Road, the Master Gardeners are doing another, putting on another program, and they're going to have demonstrations, free tool sharpening, crafts workshops, and a marketplace with plants, birdhouses, and garden art. That's the 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the San Diego Master Gardeners.
Well, and next weekend at Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway, we will have Ronin Sharpening, because it'll be the first and
weekend.
second Saturday and Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
And that is not free sharpening.
No.
It's very good.
But he's very good.
Yes.
He's very, very good. And he can sharpen anything with knives, pruners, scissors.
My what?
No. Wit. Sharpen your wit.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But there are a couple of things that he doesn't do, and I can't picture what they are right now on the sign. Does he not do serrated knives? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that is correct.
That could be correct.
Right.
Okay. Although I heard the trick to the I had read somewhere the trick to sharpening serrated knives is the serrations are only cut on one side. So you sharpen the flat side, and then that sharpens the serrations. Don't ruin your knives trying it, but that's just what I had heard.
Saturday, the first Saturday, you can come in and offer.
Explain it to him?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'll do that.
Okay.
So, let's see. Also, next weekend's a busy weekend. On Saturday and Sunday, Saturday from 2 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 4, it's a Come to a Garden Party, an NGC Standard Flower Show. And that is put on by the Vista Garden Club, and that is going to be at Jim Porter Recreation Center at Brengel Terrace Park in Vista. And then they're having a plant sale and garden art boutique from 12 to 5 on Saturday and from 10 to 4 on Sunday. So if you're looking to get out and about next weekend, that's something to keep in mind. God, I haven't been to Brengel Terrace Park.
What is that?
40 years.
Where is that?
It's in Vista. It's just a big community park.
You like to get out to Vista. Isn't that where the big estate is that you go to? Isn't that Vista?
No, that's in Fallbrook.
That's Fallbrook.
Grand Traditions.
Which, right.
if you've never been there, you need to go check it out.
I've never been there.
It's open to the public. You have to pay to get in. But it's a huge botanical garden. It surrounds a big pond, big lawn areas. I think they have a restaurant. At least they did when we were there, but the restaurant wasn't open.
But it's a restroom.
It's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous, and you would never know it's there.
And we were just talking about pecan trees a moment ago, and you said they have a large one there.
Oh, they have a huge one.
Right.
Yeah. The restaurant's in this kind of two-story building. It looks like a big house. That's right next to the lake, and they have a pecan tree that, as I recall, it was as tall or taller than the building. It was just a massive tree, absolutely beautiful tree. And speaking of pecans, we did get a few in yesterday or the day before. I can't remember which, but the ones that we got in are actually in bloom. They've got catkins hanging off of them. We got walnut trees too. We got some 15-gallon walnut trees, which supposedly do very well in our.
Those and pecans.
Pecans do well here. I have one that I started from seed, I don't know, 30 years ago at my other house, and it's doing really well, and it produces most years.
There's a few big ones at my parents' house that are all volunteers.
Interestingly, the one I have came from your neighborhood, just in Spring Valley area. A cousin had
brought
one.
You a...
Well, he was growing some growing some. I was over there. He gave me a couple seeds, and next thing you know, I have this really big one.
Well, that's cool.
It is. I like those stories.
Uh-oh.
I got lost. There we go. Let's see. What's going on? In Balboa Park today and tomorrow, the Bonsai Club is having their show and sale.
Which club?
The Bonsai Club.
Okay, thank you. That's
the 27th and 28th. That's today and tomorrow. And then next weekend, okay, I may have to go. I keep saying this every year. The Iris Society. is having their show on sale.
Maybe you should get with your bride and say that's what we're doing and get it on the calendar.
This is what
so
we're
that
doing.
The week after you go, oh, I missed that Irish.
They usually call us, and I get very excited about whatever the Irish is that we
No, we
get
keep saying we need
about.
To go and buy them.
Yes,
we don't.
That,
yeah,
that Irish.
That one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe this will be the year, but and that's next Sunday?
That's next Saturday and Sunday, the 4th
and
the
5th. Do you know what next Sunday is?
No.
I believe it's the Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy how far we are into this
year
already.
Yeah. Well, I won't be going on Sunday, that's for sure. And then...
Well, wait a second. For sure you won't be going on Sunday because
We have other plans.
Oh, okay. So. Okay.
And... Mother's Day is coming up the week after that on the 12th. So if you haven't gotten out and gotten anything for mom yet, there's still plenty of time to do that, and there's a lot of stuff available. I happened to see on Facebook, or was follow the Botanical Garden Foundation page, and John Clements did a short about candlenut trees. The Hawaiian name for it is kukuyu nut. And you see it all over Hawaii. It's a big tourist thing where they make leis out of the nuts. It's a really hard nut, and they polish up almost like glass. They're really dark brown to black in color. Really pretty. Really pretty plant. But the trees are really neat, and they will grow here. I think John's got one or two of them, or maybe more, at the botanical garden. Has kind of a gray foliage. It's kind of... The foliage kind of looks like a sycamore, but it's gray. It has kind of a gray
Now, is kukuyu nut related to kukuyu grass?
No.
I
don't believe
so.
It's spelled completely different.
Okay.
Kukuyu nut is K-U...
When you started telling me about that, that was...
K-U-K-U-I. But they call it candle nut because there's so much oil in the nuts that they can light them on fire and burn them like a candle.
Now that and grabs my attention.
And John even mentioned that in the native Hawaiian culture, the kukui is a unit of time, and it's how long it takes for one of the nuts to burn, which he said is approximately 15 minutes.
So you can take a nut, cut it open, put it in the half shell in its own little candle holder, and ignite it, or do you have
to... I'm not sure how they light it. The shell is very hard. It's a pretty
it's
thick
like
shell.
A little coconut.
Yeah, kind of. There's a picture of it right there. For those of you watching on radio, George has a picture that you can see.
You know, the leaf kind of looks from here like a Eleagnus leaf.
Much bigger.
Yeah, I thought of the Kalanchoe, like the Napoleon's hat, the way the point of it is. It's not the same texture.
I'll accept that.
We had a big one on Ticonderoga Street when we lived there that my dad had planted years and years ago. It all got scraped off when they sold the property, but it's a neat tree. And I actually had a bunch of seeds that I put them out to see if we can get them to germinate. So we'll
and while you said it does grow here in its native habitat, it gets to 80 feet.
Yeah, it doesn't get that big here. So. Yeah, you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady's got the day off today. During the break, George, you were doing
somebody
a,
in the room.
You were doing a little bit
well, a
more research,
dive.
A yeah. deeper dive on the kukui nut. I learned a lot of stuff that I did not know.
In 7 seconds. They use a lot of the different portions of the plants are used for dyes. The husk of the nut is used to make a dye that they use on fishing nets so that the nets are less visible to the fish. The inner bark makes a brownish-red dye that they use to dye some clothing. The soot of the burned nut is used to make a dye that's used for tattoo work. The sap was used to treat thrush diseases and things in your throat. And the gum was used to make a varnish that they used to waterproof.
Interesting.
The only thing that really wasn't used much was the actual wood because it was very soft and it was used for temporary things, although they did grow some edible fungus on it. So fascinating, a lot of use for the tree.
I'm still most excited about cutting it out of the half shell and burning it.
And I think that the botanical name is Alarites, isn't it?
Correct. So,
something along that line.
Let's see.
You know, that makes...
Yes, Alarites.
I think tung oil is from the same family. T-U-N-G.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'd have to look that up and see. But for some Maybe reason, so, I think it is. I don't know. There used to be, a long time ago, there was a seed company up in Vista called Carter Seed. And they used to have all kinds of interesting stuff. And I remember at one point in time, they had seeds for the tung oil trees. And you could get them. I think we tried growing them and did not have any luck with it myself. But
well, that's a great product, the tung oil, for finishing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
To do wood with, yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Who was the guy on TV that used to use it all? Homer Formby. He did it.
Wait, that's out of nowhere. Who's Homer Formby?
He used to have a TV show on furniture restoration
here in San Diego.
Well, it was, I don't know if it was on PBS or whatever. Okay. But that was his go-to finish was tung oil. Hand rubbed tung oil.
Right. Oh yeah, so. And it's luxurious. It looks nice.
Yeah, it's a very, very nice finish. You could still find it.
I have some in the garage.
Yeah, I probably do too.
The tongue tree is Vernicia fortii.
Okay, then that's not the same.
Well, it could be in the same family, not the same genus.
I would agree with that, George.
While you're looking. Saw an interesting article from South Carolina. For those of you that haven't been following it, this year is the first time in 17 years that the cicadas have come out in parts of the country, and it's supposed to be the largest emergence of cicadas in decades.
It's three separate broods that coincide this time, right?
Yeah, they all come together for whatever you call
kumbaya.
It.
Kumbaya.
But apparently, the headline was, cicadas are making so much noise that residents are calling the police in South Carolina, and they said it is so loud that people have been calling the police to try to find out what is going on. Now, it would seem to me that it would be fairly obvious what was going on, but I don't know. I'm just glad we don't live someplace where they have cicadas.
When I lived in Tennessee, every year there'd be some nowhere near this population, but they'd be there.
Yeah, it's an ugly bug.
It's too. A loud bug.
Visiting our friend Jim in Prescott. There's something in those trees making a lot of noise. It sounds like cicadas, but it just sounds like bugs in the trees making a lot of noise.
Jim, the Monrovia guy.
Jim Roop, yeah.
The guy I met just...
That's right.
I met him a month ago.
I could not imagine calling the police because he was making such noise.
No, I don't understand that. Yeah, I fear for our survival as a species. Well,
it says here that their collective songs can be, I guess you're going to call it a song, can be as loud as jet engines. And scientists who study them often wear earmuffs to protect their hearing.
So which generation jet engines do they make as much noise as?
That's a good question.
Side on the tung tree, the plant has high severity poison characteristics. I don't know what they are, but be careful if you're playing with tung oil.
Oh, maybe hand rubbed tung oil finish isn't the greatest way to do it. Let's see. This is the first time since 1803 the two broods emerged.
Oh, two. I'm sorry, I said three.
Yes, you did.
Same have emerged simultaneously. The next time this happens will be 2037. With this convergence, the bugs will arrive in numbers that have not been seen in generations. The dual cicada brood emergence will primarily be seen in parts of Illinois and Iowa, as well as parts of Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. I asked my daughter, who lives in Durham, if they had any emergence there, and she said they had not. They had not seen any in her area yet. So I guess she's kind of lucky in that regard.
Unless she likes the sound of the cicadas.
I don't know.
That sound like jet engines.
Yeah.
What was it you were telling us about the trees, the forest trees talking to each other or communicating or emerging at the same time? They went through, you were telling us something about, yeah, the hardwood forests that they do some kind of a cycling of emergence or coloring at the same time.
Well, I talked about the overbearing of
that's fruit probably and stuff. It. Yes. What was it?
Masting.
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 That's correct.
Was the term. Yeah. What about it?
And I just this emergence of the cicadas reminds me of that's what came to mind with me was your masting. I had it totally messed up, yeah. But that's what came to mind, and it's not in any way, shape, or form cyclically related.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
And then there was it is cyclical, but I don't think it has anything to do with cicadas. That. Yeah. I did read an interesting article a few months ago about a stand of, I think it's in Colorado, of aspen trees, and it's a whole forest of aspens, but it's all one plant.
They're all connected.
Right. They're all connected.
It's one of the largest living
which I think the largest living organism on the planet is actually a fungus colony, which is somewhere back in the Midwest, I think. Also, it goes through a forested area.
That is amazing, the soil webs of those. So yeah. This aspen forest is all, they're all suckers.
They're all suckers, basically.
That's incredible.
Like. Yeah, it's a huge
kind of like your backyard if you let a Brazilian pepper tree alone.
Very much so. Very much so.
But before we lose this, going back to your fire nut tree and
yes,
the
sir.
Tongue oil, they're from the same family. They're both from the Euphorbia family, Euphorbiaceae.
Really?
Yep.
I never would have thought that looking at the tree and the
goes
flowers.
Back to you saying it might be bad for you.
Well, we're both from the same family. We're all from the same family, and you couldn't tell by looking at us, right?
Yeah.
Same kind of.
Exactly.
Well, maybe if you have some furniture that needs refinishing, you can try a hand-rubbed fire stick oil finish. See how that works for you.
That's a great. And you have some in the garage you can loan me, George?
I will loan you some.
I am going to have some furniture that's going to need something.
As I was walking through the store the other day, there was something that caught my eye that I thought we might mention for folks. Typically, when it comes to insecticides, herbicides, and fungicides, there's usually three different types. You can get three different types of chemicals to put on your three different types of packaging for chemicals. It can be the same chemical, but it can come in three different packages. And the packages are basically concentrates, ready to use, and ready to spray. And concentrate is just the concentrated chemical that you have to dilute down either in a tank sprayer or a hose end sprayer.
You have to mix it up yourself.
You have to mix it up yourself. Ready to spray is a concentrate, but it comes with a hose end sprayer attached to it. Very, very convenient. And it's also just about as economical. It actually might be more economical if you don't have a sprayer at home, because you're buying the concentrate with the sprayer attached to it.
It's so ready to go
ready
to use, because that's a different version.
There's no wastage. You don't have to pre-mix anything. It's a very convenient way
to get it done.
It is, but interestingly, when I share that with people, whether it's the hoard oil or the liquid cop or whatever, a lot of people say, I don't have a hose over there.
Can be a problem.
It can be a problem. So you do need the hose to make that work.
And the longer the hose that you use, the less water will come out of it just because of frictional losses. And on some hose end sprayers, they don't function very well if you have a very, very long hose attached to it.
Or low water pressure.
Then the last one is ready to use. And those come in a trigger sprayer. They're pre-diluted. And it is also probably the most expensive way that you can apply.
And I might add, the most tedious way to apply.
Yeah, it takes a while.
You know, if you're doing a small, a little plant on your patio, it's probably fine. But anything larger, it's not going to work well.
Anything larger than small?
Anything larger than medium.
And with the hort oils, I really try and discourage people from using it because oil works by thorough coverage.
Yeah.
And no matter how good you are doing it with your index finger and a trigger sprayer, you're probably going to miss big areas.
It's not going to work. That's another thing that the hose end sprayer does is it applies it all over the plant. You can spray up underneath the foliage. It moves the foliage around. It really does give you a good application. So,
yeah. It agitates foliage as much as I agitate people, basically.
Not quite as much, but yeah.
Close.
ready to spray, as far as I'm concerned, is for most people is probably the way to go.
Remember a couple of years ago when I actually did apply some copper to my trees during the dormant season? That's because I took home a ready to spray. I didn't have to do anything other than hook it up to the hose.
Yeah, you're more likely to use it. If it's the more convenient it is, the more likely you are to use it.
So, absolutely true.
So there's your little
technical
moment for the day.
I have some stuff when we come back about the chemicals as well.
Okay, and we also have some calls. So Bob, John, stay on the phone. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady's got the day off today.
And a dance song for later today. Have to put that out there for Capri.
Glad I want to make sure.
Let's see. We're going to go into the phones. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go down to Otay Mesa, where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. About 2 weeks ago, in the San Diego store, I put on a list for a bare lime tree, and I was wondering, do you guys know when it's going to come in? And then when it does come in and I plant it, should I spray it?
Probably, well, not probably. In order for us to get one in, it's been treated. So you can't ship citrus legally within the state without it being treated. So you wouldn't need to spray it immediately because that's been taken care of. But bare limes have been hard to come by. And I am not sure when they will have them. As soon as we find somebody that has some available, we will get them. I do believe at the end of next week, I should have an enormous fruiting $600 or $700 bear slime for you in Poway if you want to come visit it. I'll see what it looks like. It's a new vendor. And actually, it's $700 or $800 bear slime. But they're supposed to be gorgeous and have fruit on them. But the smaller ones, as soon as they're available, we'll get some in.
When you say smaller one, I'm talking about a 15-gallon one.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, are you?
Well, fives or 15s, but the big one is a 24-inch box. One-inch caliper tree with fruit on it is what I'm expecting.
So when is the latest you can plant it?
You can plant in most areas of San Diego County year-round, and you're being down in Otay Mesa, you have no limitation. So whenever we can get you one, you can go ahead and plant it down there. If it's during a very hot period, you'll just have to water it a little more frequently. But other than that, you can plant citrus in San Diego County, most areas, 365 days a year.
Yeah. So you're saying there's a possibility in a week or two you might get some in?
The ginormous ones. Not your 15-gallon or 5-gallon, just the super expensive ones.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you very much.
Okay. We'll keep looking for you, Bob. Thanks for the call.
Goodbye.
Take care.
He's an Otay Mesa.
Yeah.
Well, you said we'll keep looking for you, Bob. Like you couldn't find him.
I'll be here all week. But you know what? Going back to that, just for people to know, citrus is very difficult to get, right?
Oh,
and that's
it's
because there
right
are fewer
now.
Growers growing them, and the quarantine restrictions in which they have to grow them limits the availability.
Yes.
It's not that there's, you know, people aren't trying to, all the stores have to, are competing for the same citrus.
Well, I was talking to our representative from Monrovia, because they were growing citrus a few years ago.
Yes, they were. And very nice citrus.
Beautiful citrus. And I was talking to him, and he said, we're never going to grow it again. He said the regulation that is involved with growing citrus, the amount of time that it takes to turn the crop over, and everything has to be grown in a screened house now.
Well,
and
they already had that double-doored screenhouse for their citrus, back when.
But it doesn't. It doesn't make sense for them economically because of the time involved. They could grow faster-growing crops that they can turn over much quicker than citrus. He said they'll probably never do it again. So it's unfortunate, but that's.
The reality. That's where we are.
That's
right?
The reality of it. That's where we are. Let's see. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go talk to John. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you. How are all of you?
We are good. Are you ready for your class today?
I am. That is truly one of my favorite classes to teach, is the one on citrus. So I hope people come out, and I will be teaching all kinds of ancient secrets to make the citrus grow very, very well. And so we would love for them to just be able to have super healthy citrus with grapefruit. Citrus are my favorite thing. I mean, and I have literally grown hundreds of varieties of every kind of tree. But my gosh, if you get, which by the way, I bought some citrus that are now in a different yard, but some tremendous navels. And when you think all navel oranges are the same, oh, no, they're not. You know, like a Newhall navel or Barnhill from Australia or Fukimoto. I mean, there's just these nuances of flavor and, you know, ripening times. And so anyway, I love sharing what I know about citrus with people. So I hope people come out for that.
Well, good. We are looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure to host you at the store. For those of you that don't know, this is John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden. He's going to be teaching the citrus class today at 9:30 in Poway. And I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, I happened to catch the little short that you did for the botanical garden on the candlenut tree.
Yes, the kukui.
Yeah, I thought that was a great short, and I thought it was very interesting. It's a neat tree. How many do you have at the garden? Do you know?
We have two.
Okay.
We have one on the edge of the bamboo garden, and we have one in an area where we raise Hawaiian plants, and that's near the waterfall. And it's a great tree. It's beautiful. And, yeah, I'm always shocked when I think that it's in the euphorbia family, because it doesn't look at all like
no.
It should be in that family.
No, not in the slightest. And I know when I was in high school, we had one in our backyard when we lived on Ticonderoga Street in Bay Park. And it was a big tree, and it really stood out from the other. It was in an area that we had quite a bit of trees and plants growing in it, and it really stood out because of that kind of gray-green foliage to it. It looks very different in the landscape.
It does.
Yeah.
It's a very nicely shaped leaf, too. Again, nothing like any euphorbia I've ever seen. They're really cool. And then at the Botanic Garden next weekend, I just sometimes shudder. We have so much to do that we keep piling more on our plates, but next weekend is the opening of our orchid show.
That's right.
And that's right. Yeah, that will go for a month. And I tell people that they really should come on Wednesdays. And every single Tuesday, we switch out the plants that are not performing at their best. So once the flowers begin to fade out, we'll bring in more orchids and then replenish them. And so it's a unique show in that sense that I was in the orchid business, and I've never seen an orchid show that runs for a month. So it's a kind of a unique opportunity. And so we hope people come out for that. And then I also wanted to just mention one of my favorite tours for the home garden tour, which I am a sucker for. I love home garden tours. And that's the one on May 11th is the Mission Hills Garden Walk. And that is always one of the standouts to me. So if people are looking for, you know, this is kind of the time of year we get those home tours. And this one is always really, really excellent.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Well, thank you, John. We look forward to seeing you later today in the Poway store.
Well, likewise. It'll be good to see you guys. And I hope people come out at 9:30 for learning everything they ever wanted to know about citrus.
I'll be there, John. But
good, David.
I'm not so sure that George or Ken will, but I'll be there to greet you.
Yeah, but John knows I won't be there. We've been corresponding.
Oh, okay.
Yes, indeed.
See you, John.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, John. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. Bye-bye. Take care. So that's at 9:30 in the Poway store today.
I brought him a treat bag.
Oh, okay.
Right, you did.
I want to go back to giant organisms.
Oh, the quaken aspen trees we were talking about.
Yes.
So it's called Pando, and it's the world's largest tree, and it's a quaking aspen tree. There are over 47,000 stems that appear to be individual trees, but they're all connected. Like you said, they're suckers coming up. And
that's why you don't plant them in a small yard.
Exactly. And they span over 106 acres.
Is that Populus tremuloides?
It is, actually. Well done, sir.
Stuck the landing.
Quaking aspen.
Yes.
Quaking aspen, yes. And 106 acres. It is in the Fish Lake National Forest in central Utah.
Probably pretty spectacular in the fall.
I would think in autumn it would be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. That, you know, in the Eastern Sierra, you don't get a lot of variation as far as color is concerned in the fall, but like when we've gone up for trade shows in October,
up to
Reno and Lake Tahoe area and just the Eastern Sierra, the aspens are just stunning. Just absolutely stunning. Just huge swaths of just canary yellow on the side of the mountains. They're really, really pretty.
Big as your grove of quaking aspen is.
But wait, there's more. What do you got?
The largest living organism on Earth is not that.
No, it's not.
It is a humongous fungus.
Among us.
Up in Oregon. In the Blue Mountains of Oregon. And it covers 2,384 acres. Or 965 hectares, if that's your unit of measure. And it's a amillaria. It's a root rot fungus. Armillaria.
Armillaria.
Interesting. I came across an interesting little tidbit as far as plant history from San Diego is. It's the Flowers Field at Carlsbad Ranch has its roots in Luther Gage's field in Oceanside. Gage brought ranunculus seeds, which I've never seen before. Have you ever seen a ranunculus seed?
No.
Yeah.
Well, not knowingly.
To the area and began growing them in his fields next to Frank Frazee's small vegetable farm. In 1933, Frazee also started growing ranunculus and introduced his son Edwin to the art of seeding, cultivating, and irrigating the pretty but not yet popular flower. Edwin made several moves over the years, but in 1965, he moved his ranunculus along with gladiolus. I forgot they used to grow gladiolus up there, too. Gladiolus growing operation to the current site, land owned by the Ecke family of Encinitas. Ecke Poinsettias. Paul Ecke Jr. and Edwin were both flower farmers, which helped form a strong bond between the two men. When Edwin decided to retire in 1993, Paul brought in Milano and Company, another longtime flower growing family, to take over production and looked at tourism as a means to keep the flower fields financially viable. So there's a brief history of the flower fields for you.
There is a lot of agro-tourism taking place throughout the country. Old farms and flower fields. We did it when we were just in Arizona a month ago with olive oil. You know, it's an olive grove where they're producing it, but they turned the whole venue into a tourism place where they sell a lot of product. They have
a destination.
Yeah, exactly. And in this particular case, as I mentioned before, it was packed, but I've seen it in other places with apples in upstate New York and things like that, where it's a big draw for people.
I have also seen where across the country, farmers and ranchers will open their property up for people with RVs, and they have campsites on their property where you can pull in with your RV and camp on the farm or on the ranch. And apparently that's becoming probably, fairly popular.
Pretty lucrative, I would imagine, in some ways. I mean,
I would
it's not
think so.
Be millions of dollars, but it certainly will cover the.
Well, you're charging
some of your bills.
Basically, just charging somebody to park a car.
Yeah.
So you really don't have to do much.
Right.
As long as they don't get stuck in the mud. So.
Or the cow pasture.
Or the cow pasture, yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, George Allman. Mark's got the weekend off. You know, I was walking through the native plant section, which I try to do a couple of times a week just to see. Chris has been doing a really good job bringing some interesting stuff in.
Agreed.
And something that I haven't seen in the store in quite some time, especially in 1 gallons. We have some ones and fives, and I think there might be 15 out there. Redwoods. We have Aptos Blue Redwoods. Just a gorgeous tree. Absolutely gorgeous tree. And they will grow around here, but man, you really got to water them or they don't look great.
We're not exactly their native environment here.
No, but I can't remember who it was I was talking to about it, and they said... Because the areas that they do really well in, it seemed to me that they obviously get more rain than we do, but it wasn't an extraordinary amount of rain like the Olympic Peninsula up in Washington, which gets a stupid amount of rain every year. But
is that a technical term?
Yes.
Like as far as measurements and quantities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's the fog and the mist.
And those tiny and little needles.
The tiny leaves, and they catch the mist, and then it sheds it down, and it drips down into the root zone.
Almost constantly.
So I thought that was very interesting. And I don't think it was the last drought series that we went through, but the one before, as you would drive down the 163 south, just before you got to the Laurel Street Bridge, on the west side of 163, there was a huge, huge grove of redwoods there. Big redwoods, like 30, 40 feet tall. And then when the drought hit, they cut all the irrigation off to those areas. I think that entire grove is pretty much wiped out now. Well, I think it's gone.
Most of the redwoods I've seen down here come out really nicely, and they grow really well rapidly for 3 to 5 years. They mm-hmm. look good. They get some size to them, and then they start to burn up.
They constantly have brown foliage.
Awful.
Yeah, I had two huge ones in my front yard when I first moved into that. When we first landscaped the house, put two big ones in, and they grew like crazy. They got trunks on them that were almost a foot in diameter towards the base, and then it just got to the point where I couldn't keep them looking green. I'd give them water. They would send out some new foliage, some new growth. They'd look okay for a while, and then they would just start to brown out again. And it got to the point where I didn't want to put that much water on them, and I just got tired of dealing with it. So it ended up taking them out. It was very
sad.
Maybe
you should have ran some drip irrigation lines up into the tree and had misters go off twice a day or something.
I had thought about that, but yeah, they look nice up to about 10 or 15 feet in San Diego, and then it's difficult to keep them looking really good after that. Although they did for a while, although I think most of it's gone now, the conifer garden at the wild animal park, and it's now the safari park, They had some up there that were really, that conifer garden was really neat. That was one of my favorite things about the park was the conifer garden. And you walk through it to get over to Condor Ridge. And as you're walking through it, they have the stream that runs through it, and it smelled like you were in the mountains. Yeah,
but now that's all the outback, that whole area. Australia. A lot of pretty ACA plants in there. Yeah.
But I remember one of the plants that was a real standout in that garden was a Colorado blue spruce. They had one up there that was probably close to 20 feet tall, and it was perfect. I mean, it was
right near that pond. Right?
I think so.
Yeah, I do recall that.
It was beautiful.
Yep.
It was an absolutely beautiful tree. So it's unfortunate. That was also where years ago, where they had the dinosaur exhibit. Did you ever take your kids to that when it was up there?
I never did.
Yeah, my dad took my oldest son Max to it. They couldn't even get close to it. It scared him so bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, what was the name? I can't remember what they called that. But, and one of the other interesting little plants that was out there, that was out on the tables, was small-leaved clematis. I can't remember what the botanical name was. It's something passiflora, but it's a little teeny vine, and the foliage on it looks like clematis foliage, but it's tiny. It's like the size of maybe a half dollar or silver dollar. Really tiny, very, very fine vine.
And is it a rounded foliage or is it?
I think it's a trilobed, okay. Trilobed foliage, rounded trilobed foliage. But it's really pretty, really pretty little native. And then one of the other, a nice small native tree that you can actually eat the fruit off of is Catalina cherries. We had quite a few Catalina cherries out there, and that's a nice looking tree.
I have a bunch of those on my PQ property, and one in Poway, and I love that tree. It stays; it's evergreen. When it's in bloom, it's massively fragrant. It's full of bees. Bees love it. There is a negative to it.
What's that?
Rats love the nuts.
Oh, the
inside,
fruit?
Not the fruit proper, but the nut inside.
Oh, the nut inside.
Yeah, I would find them everywhere in the yard, under the shed, in the shed, if they got in, everywhere. They love them.
Well, supposedly the fruit is considered a delicacy by Native Americans in this region, which I don't know that I've ever eaten one or not.
Here's the other downside. The pit is about, I'll make up a number here, you know, a size 6, and the fruit is a 7. There's very little fruit on the outside of that pit.
Yeah, there's not a lot of flesh on,
right.
on the
good?
Fruit.
Is the flavor good?
They're not a sweet cherry. I mean, I eat them because they're out there, but.
Because the flavor on the Harpophyllum caffra?
Oh, the Kiefer plum?
Is that that's the one.
Yeah. Which we have out front.
Right.
Yeah. There's almost all. It'd be about the size and shape of a oblong olive with a pit in it, and then there's probably 5% flesh or less.
Similar to the Catalina.
But the flavor, I think the flavor's outstanding.
Yeah.
I don't, God, I know I've had one, but it's been years.
Well, they're right there.
When the current crop ripens, I'll bring you some.
Okay. You know, I don't remember where we were walking the other day, but we walked by a huge carissa that was loaded with fruit, and I remember Melanie said, "Can you eat these?" And because there was a bunch of red ones, and I said, "Yeah, technically you can." I said, "I don't know how they taste."
My son Mike has been eating them. He's 30 something. He's been eating them since he was a tyke. He loves them.
Really?
They're called in South Africa num num. I think is the common name.
Num num.
The sap from the plant itself is toxic, but the fruit's good, and it makes a really good jelly. But you add a lot of sugar, obviously.
My grandparents had one right outside. As you walked out the back door of the kitchen, there was one on the right hand side under the window there, and I think my grandmother used to make jelly off of those.
I have a huge hedge of it if anybody wants the fruit that the rats don't get.
You don't eat it?
No, I don't. I don't know why.
Maybe you should try.
Tremendous source. Meh. I've got plenty of good fruit on the property.
It's the beet of your your fruit trees.
Now I have to try it. Don't say it that way.
Way to put pressure on them.
Yeah,
Dan.
I have to try it. No kidding.
All right, classes today in San Diego. It's going to be integrated pest control, and in Poway, that's at 9:00. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be Citrus Care and Culture with John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden. Next week, it's Pollinators in San Diego and Xeriscape with Succulents and Perennials with Dean in Poway. Don't forget the Vista Garden Club is having their big show today at Brengle Terrace Park. The Master Gardeners are going to be at the Home Depot in Lemon Grove today from 9 to 3. And in Balboa Park, it's the Bonsai Club Show and Sale. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.